Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously. Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 29. Who would have thought we'd make it this far? Coming to you as always from the beautiful, beautiful city of Boston. Actually, I'm in downtown Dorchester, where it's wicked piss all the time. And my good friends are in Boston more proper. Tommy, how's everything over there in Boston?
Things are fine, Tom. It's a beautiful day out.
Now, Josh, you're kind of in the suburbs. Where are you?
I'm in the wonderful world of suburbia near the intersection of 90 and 495, practically the wilderness.
Well, you just keep the walls tight and watch out for banshees and rabid wolverines and whatever else kills you, pioneers. And thank you for, you know, trying to tame the wilderness. And on the desert moon that is Louisiana is my good friend Mike Manning. Mike, how you doing?
I am fat and happy today, thank you.
What's making you so fat today?
It's probably the Abita Banana Foster soda that I've been drinking.
That sounds awful.
It is very tasty, and it would go really well with pancakes.
So how many grams of sugar does it have?
As many as a Coca-Cola, so way too much.
Way too much for this, Tom.
I'm drinking a big glass of scotch in my Invincible Iron Man glass where he's battling Demon in a Bottle because I enjoy irony. And today we're going to be talking about one of my absolute most favorite subjects, Pulp Fiction, and how they are the forerunner to a lot of superheroes. And I'm just going to give you a quick background. Everyone kind of knows what those old pulp novels are. Pulp novels kind of get their name from the fact that they were written on very cheap paper. They were mass-produced starting in the 1850s. It goes back that far, according to my research, which honestly wasn't all that rigorous. The 1896 was one of the first ones that were published. Goes straight through the 1950s, and of course you can still find kinds of Pulp Fiction out there, but they're more of the kind of the throwbacks, paying homage to them. Some of those great ones were The Shadow, Tarzan. You could easily argue that the first Batmans were more Pulp Fiction than anything else, especially the radio show, The Phantom Detective. A lot of these things were just these kind of pulp magazine or pulp dime novels, and that's where a lot of these superheroes kind of got their start. And we all have our favorites. They became very popular in World War II. World War I, and after World War II, they started to decline a little bit, and that kind of follows the arc of comic books also, and we're going to talk about some of our favorites. Mikey, why don't you start us off with one of your favorite pulps?
I'm going to go with the Green Hornet.
Ooh, that's a great one.
The first time I encountered him was when I was watching the Batman 1966 TV show. Now, of course, I wasn't old enough to actually watch the show when it came on, but I saw it in repeats with my dad, and my dad was the one who pointed out, he said, I used to listen to the Green Hornet on the radio when I was a kid. And that's where the Green Hornet actually started. Before he even got into pulp magazines, he started off as a radio show back in 1936. By the 1940s, they had started producing the pulp novels of Green Hornet, and they also started producing the first Green Hornet comic books. So a lot of the modern listeners who don't follow comic books or old pulp comics were probably thinking, oh yeah, I know the Green Hornet from that horrible 2011
movie. Screw you! Screw you!
I love
the Green Hornet movie.
It was horrible. Seth Rogen as Britt Reed. It was a bad movie, man. Come on.
It wasn't a bad movie.
I love the cars in that movie. All the cars in that movie. I thought they were all brilliantly done.
That movie was laser Wolverine claws in my eyes.
I love that movie. I know this is like my version of the Green Lantern for you. You love the Green Lantern movie. I loved this movie. This was a great. I must have seen it like 10 times.
So you've seen it 9 more times than the director.
Nine and a half more times than me.
don't judge the character based on that movie. If you're going to go back and look at any of the comic books, check out the Now comics from the 1990s. It was great because not only did they incorporate the whole history of the Green Hornet, they explained how he started off in the 30s and brought him all the way up into the 90s by making it a legacy that not only the Reed family passes on as the Green Hornet, but the Kato family passes on the responsibility of being the bodyguard for the Green Hornet. The great thing about the Green Hornet was he was an anti-hero. He posed as a villain, a bad guy, another mobster, in order to beat up the other mobsters without them realizing that he was actually a good guy and trying to stop them. So what did you guys think of the Green Hornet, other than that movie?
I love the TV show from the 60s, because, well, who didn't love comic book heroes in the 60s? And Bruce Lee was brilliant in that. But other than that, I haven't really read much of the Green Hornet other than some of the Kevin Smith stuff.
I just want to say this about Burt Ward. If you guys read My Life Enticed by Burt Ward, he goes on to say that if it ever really came down to it, he could have taken Bruce Lee. I know, right? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's when I stopped reading My Life Enticed.
He could have taken Bruce Lee out to dinner?
No, he honestly believed that his boxing background and his he just had this idea in his head that Bruce Lee was smaller than him and he could probably have taken him. And he wrote that – he put it in writing.
Well, it's easy to put it in writing when the guy has already been dead for 30 years when you're saying, oh, yeah, I could have kicked his ass. You know Muhammad Ali? I could have kicked his ass.
That's right.
I'd be afraid of either of their ghosts coming up and just kicking the crap out of me. So that's on you, Bert. That's not cool, dude. But I love the comic books. I love the great crossovers with the Green Llama that you guys turned me on to. It's all been great.
I didn't read any of the comics. I did listen to some of the radio broadcasts when in my traveling days on cassette.
Mm. Oh, cassette. You beautiful bastard. Cassette is something that we used to have to listen to things on back in the early days, kids. I know a lot of you don't know what that is as you're on your fancy, fancy podcast. All right. So, Josh, what was your favorite pulp?
So when I was a kid, I loved the Tarzan cartoon on Saturday mornings.
Even though Tarzan ran over that same damn vine every single week?
Yes, and dove into the river the same exact way three times every show. So that cartoon sort of made me oddly enough, I really like Tarzan because he got me into science fiction. So from watching Tarzan, I eventually went out and tried to find something I could read by Tarzan. And my first exposure was actually the magazine-sized books for Tarzan.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. They were like about 12 inches tall.
Yeah, they were huge. They were like Time Life magazines at the time.
Yeah.
And so I read a couple of those, and that made me bump into Edgar Rice Burroughs, which is actually what put me on to John Carter of Mars. And that was really the sort of the first science fiction series I read as a very, very young wee one.
Now, but, there was a bad Pulp Fiction movie, by the way.
That movie was also awful.
Oh, my God.
I have yet to see that movie because it has not become available free to me. So as soon as it goes on Netflix.
Free to you. Feel free to avoid it for the rest of your life.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to defend the John Carter movie.
Oh, Lord.
Really?
I thought it was good for what it was supposed to be. It was an accurate retelling of the John Carter story. And I think Gladiator Combat is good.
All right. Well, you're full of shit.
As soon as it's on Netflix, I will give it a try.
Look, without John Carter, there's no Superman because John Carter is able to jump really far and have super strength because of the lesser gravity on the planet, which is the exact same Schuster and Siegel stole when they created the Man of Steel.
I'm not saying that's not all important, and I would also like to backtrack just a little bit and say, Josh, you went back and tried to find stuff that Tarzan wrote. That's what you said. I don't think he was very prolific.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
He was a kid.
The
leave
problem
him alone.
Is combing the jungles for the carvings in the trees.
Yeah.
But for those of the listeners who don't know, Tarzan actually started out as a novel around 1912 or 1913 and eventually made his way into comic books in the late 20s, early 30s, and then had all sorts of varied comics in the through the 70s and 80s. And eventually got a couple different translations from or reimagining, especially from Philip Jose Farmer, who gave him a much more adult spin in his novels. Even Bob Salvatore of Drist Dorden fame had a Tarzan novel.
Didn't you have him come out to your college to talk?
Yeah, just in time to have all my magic collection stolen when I listened to him speak, yeah.
Can you never, ever separate those two memories?
No, I cannot. No, because actually I look at the actual dollar value of the cards that were stolen, and I cry a little bitter tear of blood every time I see that.
Let's let our listeners in on your pain about how much you think was taken out of that case when the case was taken.
That the day my collection was stolen was the day I finished. I got a beta time walk, which finished my Alpha to Ice Age collection, and they stole all of my artifacts, which probably amounted to somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40 Moxes and 10 Black Lotuses.
So can you give me a round figure?
No magic? Yeah, jump on eBay and just feel my pain. Feel it.
We'll all feel your pain for you, my friend. Tommy, what was your favorite pulp?
I really like the Shadow, and I really like him basically from all the Dynamite reboots of him. They have just done some fantastic things over at Dynamite with these pulp characters. And I really like the Shadow. He originally was part of a radio drama about detectives back in 1931. And people started actually going to the newsstand and requesting the Shadow magazine because they thought he had his own detective, basically, magazine that came out every month. And that kind of drove the Shadow into existence as an actual magazine. And then later on he did, he had his own radio series. He had his own, films and such. And Dynamite is been doing Shadow stories for several years now. And they are fantastic. They've gotten some great artists in. They've gotten some great writers in. And I just like what they've done.
Yeah. Well, as long as we're talking about the Shadow real quick, what did you think about the movie?
It was a long time ago. I really liked it when Alec Baldwin narrated the Royal Tenenbaums.
Is that what you're going to say about that? I liked it, but I didn't love it, but I did like it.
I thought it was just okay.
Anybody else want to come to its defense?
No.
Josh? Josh, I'm sorry, we skipped over something for you. What was your favorite Tarzan movie?
I'm not sure I have a favorite Tarzan movie, honestly.
There's been a couple of good ones. I mean, some of the old serials were pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I would kind of like Legend of Greystoke, but every time he's just Highlander in the jungle. It drives me insane.
That's
look
a good
away.
Point.
I mean, there can be only one Tarzan, but it just doesn't float for me.
The new one looks pretty great. I'm really excited about that.
I do like the actor who plays it, but once again, I fear that digital animation is going to ruin the film.
Digital animation has ruined many a film.
I've got to say my least favorite Tarzan was the Disney movie.
I like that. Phil Collins soundtrack. It was great.
Really?
You're Phil a Collins, hater. Huh? I like Phil Collins. I'm not that guy. Phil Collins is great. All right, well, that brings me to my favorite pulp, and this was a really hard choice for me because I love, love, love Conan. Conan's great, and let's give him at least an honorable mention. But my favorite of all time, and maybe one of my favorite heroes of all time, is Doc Savage. Did you guys remember Doc Savage?
Oh, yeah, the Bronze Hero.
The Bronze Hero. He came about kind of early on in the pulp startups, a little bit after the Phantom. He drove the coolest of cars. He had a great background story. He was the Man of Bronze, almost as good as the Man of Steel, right? I mean, close. Yeah.
A little bit.
He spent 1 hour a day, every single day, working on his mind and his body to become the perfect weapon against crime. And he surrounded himself with the Fabulous Five, his five friends from childhood, who would help him fight crime. And I would love to say that Doc Savage was my favorite pulp hero of all time. But in fact, I actually liked Ham the best. He was just one of the sidekicks. I'm sorry, not Ham, Monk. I like Monk the best, and his nemesis was Ham, who was the lawyer character. Monk was this kind of brutish chemist who was kind of ape-like and, you know, very strong, but one of the most brilliant chemists. All the other people were also brilliant in their own way. Ham was one of the greatest lawyers on the planet, and whenever Doc Savage needed him, he'd come right there. Remy was the greatest electrician that the world has ever known, and whenever Doc Savage was right there. I love that he had his friends, and I love that they, you know, they'd heed the call. Doc needs us? Ah, screw this. And they'd all go run. They'd leave their law firms, their chemistry labs. They'd all just go right to Doc, and they'd all just still go fight crime together, which I loved. Very inspiring for me. And I love the original movie, which was a little campy. And I'm so looking forward to the next iteration with Dwayne Johnson.
So let me ask you this, Tom. Do you think that the television show Tales of the Golden Monkey was inspired by Doc Savage?
I think it took some of its inspiration. By the way, I lived for that show as a kid. Every week, I think it was Thursday night, I just loved that show. But that was way more Indiana Jones and Doc Savage to me. Even a little bit of Tailspin in that.
A little bit.
Do you remember now, Josh, you loved Tailspin. That was like one of your favorite cartoons.
I did love Tailspin.
So go back and watch Tails. Oh, yeah. Darkwing Duck. Let's get dangerous, for God's sakes. And both of those were very Pulp Fiction-y in a weird way. I guess we never really thought about that. But Darkwing Duck, very Pulp Fiction.
You know who Doc Savage's minions – or not minions, but friends always remind me of?
Okay.
Do you remember the plumber from the movie The Gate?
Yes.
For some reason, it always reminds me of him.
You know what you got here? You got here.
Got yourself a cross-dimensional infection in your wall.
Real nasty one, too. That wasn't The Gate, though. That was – oh, The Gate, House 2. House 2, The Gate.
Was it House 2?
It was House 2, The Gate,
okay.
Because the plumber that you're talking about was none other than our good friend from Cheers.
Yeah.
It was House 2, The Gate. Because the first one, they had Norm, and the second one, they had him. And in his toolbox, he pulls out a sword like, hey, don't worry about this. I've seen this before. We'll take care of this.
Right.
What you got here?
Right. He had the electrician who would, like, drop everything and suddenly, like, transform into, like, you know, his Indiana Jones stuff and drive away to meet Doc, you know? So it just always reminds me of that plumber.
I love that. And for honorable mentions, if anyone wants to do an honorable mention, I'd love to say Buckaroo Banzai was a great callback to those old characters. Anyone else want to throw an honorable mention out there?
I love the Phantom.
Oh, the Phantom was great.
I'm a fan of Mandrake the Magician.
Now, don't talk too much about Mandrake because he's going to be my social conscious one, so... Don't go nuts.
Wasn't there a cartoon that had the Phantom and Mandrake in it?
It was Defenders of the Galaxy, Defenders of the Earth.
Yeah.
It was Mandrake the Magician, Lothar, the Phantom, and I can't remember who else. Anybody remember who the other guy was? I think it was just Mandrake, Lothar, and
Flash Gordon.
Oh, Flash Gordon, very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a great little cartoon.
Defenders of the Earth, that was a terrific cartoon.
And they had a comic book out for a while, too. But Dynamite Comics is doing all the pulp characters now. So if you want to check out any of the latest runs of any of these guys, I don't think I've seen Tarzan, but Doc Savage and Green Hornet and The Shadow.
And
also Mandrake the Magician. So they're killing it over at Dynamite, especially Shadow, by the way, is Matt Wagner's doing a series right now on him. It's really good.
They have had some fantastic writers. Garth Ennis has done some. You know, they've had some fantastic artists. Alex Ross has done a lot of covers for these pulp titles and some of the inside artwork on some of these. I mean, Dynamite truly is kind of kicking out of the park on that.
Well, excellent. All right, well, that just about does it for us on pulp. Josh, why don't you give us a tangent to go off on today?
So we're talking about pulp, and Mike has a banana drink in front of him, soda. So I'm going to go for favorite fruity drinks.
All right.
What's your favorite fruity drink?
I'm gonna jump on this one because I just made a fruity drink yesterday called the Kessel Rum. And the Kessel Rum is a spice rum, orange juice, a splash of tonic water with a tequila float. And that is my favorite fruity drink of the moment.
That sounds delicious.
The Kessel Rum is actually really good.
And you have to drink it in less than 12 parsecs.
You should try to drink it in less than 12 parsecs or you're a puss.
What about a shot of Fireball and a nice sweet apple cider?
Wait, that's your favorite fruity drink?
I can't drink any fruity drinks anymore, so I'm just imagining now.
All right, that's right. Diabetes will kill you. Can we get – is there a low sugar fruity drink you like?
Not really. Because, well, all the fruits when you juice them, it's nothing but sugar.
All right. Well, you're out of this one. How about you, Mikey?
I'm going to go with a Kilowog.
Oh, what's in a Kilowog?
Hey, it's not my sector.
It's seltzer, blood orange, and rum with a little tiny green umbrella because it's not my sector.
It's not my sector.
Now, when did we make that up?
Last week.
Don't you listen to the podcast, Tom?
I listen to the damn podcast. Josh, write that down for me. I want to tweet that out so everyone can start drinking Kilowogs. Because
I may not have already commissioned Mark McKenna to draw that for me.
Really?
Kilowog playing cards with Not My Sector underneath it.
Not My Sector. Could you have him holding a fruity drink, for God's sakes, and put the recipe under it?
We can put the recipe on the back. Yeah, we'll just put the recipe on it.
Damn right you can.
I'll make it into a t-shirt, and we'll put the recipe on the back.
Done. I love this. This is my new favorite t-shirt of all time. I can't wait to get one. Josh, what's your favorite fruity drink?
When I was in the Caribbean recently, I was drinking Miami Vices. It's a lemon and a cherry daiquiri that are swirled.
Oh, that actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
All right. So that does our tangent for the day. Mike, what do you got in the front of the long box for me?
So in the front of the long box, I have Five Ghosts. It's an Image comic by Frank Barbary. I was lucky enough to interview Mr. Barbary at Space City Comic Con in Houston this year. It's basically a pulp fiction comic. The idea behind it is the main character is a thief who has stolen five gems that give him the power of fictional characters. So he's got like Sherlock Holmes and Robin Hood and Merlin and Dracula and some Japanese sensei warlord guy. I don't know. I can't remember his name. It's an interesting comic. If you like pulp heroes, this is the way to go. Josh, you're familiar with the series?
Yeah, actually, I really enjoy the book a lot. I actually just started crafting a D&D campaign around Five Ghosts.
Oh, I want to play that.
So.
Yeah, I have the first 12 issues printed in the a nice hardcover bound book. It is only $35 from Image Comics, but I picked it up really cheap. If you see Frank Barbary at a con, you can probably get it for $20 or $30.
Can I borrow that?
You certainly may.
No. Hey! Oh.
And while it's in Boston, I might end up borrowing it as well.
Damn right. All right, Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box for me?
Well, since it's all about the pulp today, I would take something that involves pretty much most of the pulp. Masks was an eight-issue kind of miniseries put out by Dynamite Comics with Chris Robertson and doing the writing, and Dennis Calero and Alex Ross doing artwork. The artwork in this is absolutely fantastic. This series has so much pulp in it. It's got the Spider, it has the Shadow, Green Hornet, Kato. it's just packed full of different pulp heroes. It's got Zorro, Green Llama, Miss Fury, Black Terror, Black Bat. And it's kind of this this series where everybody is kind of stuck in positions where they're trying to look out for people, and they just kind of all these heroes just kind of bang into each other while they're investigating this kind of fascist takeover of law enforcement by organized crime. I really enjoyed this series. It came out just a few years ago, back in August of 2013, and you can pick it up on Comixology or probably order it at your local comic book store. But it was a fantastic little series that involved so much pulp. It was all pulp through and through.
Yeah, you actually recommended this to me a couple of years ago when I started picking it up, and I couldn't have been happier. This was a great recommendation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
I love that series.
All right, so that brings me to my little section of the world, which is social justice and civil rights as reflected in comic books. And since we're talking about pulps, I just want to talk about Lothar for just a moment. Now, Lothar is the strongest man in the world, and he was Mandrake the Magician's bodyguard / friend. Mandrake meets Lothar in Africa, where he is the prince of seven nations, a great union of tribes. But he gave up the chance to be king of the seven tribes to travel with Mandrake, finding evil in all its forms, because he saw in Mandrake a chance to move out into the world and do even more than he could have done for just the seven tribes of Africa. He wore a terrible outfit. It was short shorts and a fez and leopard skin. He spoke poor English. But I'd like to point out that he was always portrayed as noble, as intelligent, even though he spoke poor English, and a true friend. He was one of the more sympathetic characters during that time period. We're talking about the 1950s and 60s. That was African at the time, not African American. And I just want to give a little shout out to Lothar, one of the kind of forgotten African heroes that helped us move towards normalization. Lothar was in that tricky spot right after Comic Sidekick. So I always say that there's usually this kind of arc that minorities go through, which is ignore, vilify, comic relief, sidekick, and then towards normalization. Lothar was in like this kind of awkward position right after there were, African-American characters who were comic relief. So he's one of the more noble ones that start, coming about. So
actually, Tom, I think he predates most of the sidekicks.
Oh, he does. He does predate a lot of the sidekicks. I'm not saying he predates the sidekicks. I'm saying he's one of the first to be a sidekick. And he's the one of the first ones to come out of the comic relief sidekick. He's not comic relief. He's not like Ebony White. He's one of the first ones where this is my noble defender. Now, we can also go to Little Orphan Annie and Punjab, who was a Moor, I think, back then. I'd have to actually look that up. But he was thought of as noble and all that, too. But there was, in some of the early portrayals, there was some comic relief elements to him still, as being very stupid and not knowing what to do with modern appliances and a lot of silly sight gags with him. So he's one of the first that was, had a real empathy, and people thought of him as noble rather than just comedic. Not a real person yet because he was just a sidekick, but making that transition, which is very important. All right, well, that's all our little sections today. But we do have a great interview. Do we go to that interview yet, or am I just crazy?
No, we're about to go to it now. This is the interview with Frank Barbary.
Frank Barbary, I can't wait. I'm going to learn so much from this guy.
Hey, this is Mike with the Long Box Guys, and I am here interviewing a writer extraordinaire. Sir, could you introduce yourself?
I am Frank Barbary, writer of Five Ghosts, Avengers World, Howling Commanders of S.H.I.E.L.D., and The Revisionist from Aftershock Comics.
And could you tell our listeners what Five Ghosts is?
Five Ghosts is a book about a Indiana Jones-type treasure hunter who gets possessed by five ghosts, which are the spirits of five literary characters. So it's Musashi Miyamoto, Sherlock Holmes, Dracula, Robin Hood, and, oh my God, and Merlin. Jeez, did I say Merlin twice? Okay. Embarrassing. I haven't pitched the book in so long. But, yeah, so and he has the kind of spirits of those characters that can use their abilities. It's about his adventures, and it's done in the style of, like, a pulpy throwback book, and it's a lot of fun. We've done 18 issues of it, so.
And who's the publisher?
It comes out through Image Comics.
So it's available in every comic book store.
Yep, and then online in Comixology, on Amazon, all over. So we are on hiatus right now, though. We've kind of, the team's been moving around. We hope to be back to it soon, though, because we kind of left on a cliffhanger and love the world. But we worked on it pretty tirelessly for 3 years, and then we were like, all right, let's step away for a little bit and come back. But it is our passion project and, like, our baby. So we are excited when people still get excited or discover it, because
now
it is still relatively small, all things considered.
Now, your take on the Howling Commandos is a little different than the traditional Sergeant Fury. Could you tell the folks at home about the new Howling Commandos?
So the Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. are led by Dum Dum Dugan, who was recently revealed in, I think it was the original Sin crossover, to actually be a life model decoy with a whole bunch of different bodies. So basically when one dies, his consciousness just switches to another body, and he's kind of a mortal machine man. So S.H.I.E.L.D. places him in charge of all these monster characters, so a lot of them are the more monstrous characters from Marvel, and they're kind of this secret, almost Men in Black-like team that S.H.I.E.L.D. keeps locked in a bunker, and they go explore the more, like, kind of crazy and extra-normal threats. And the team was very weird. It was 6 issues. It just ended, and I think the trade just came out this week, but it was a very, very weird team. Which was a lot of fun to write. We had Orgo, Man-Thing, Hit-Monkey, Vampire by Night, Teenage Abomination, Warwolf, and Jasper Sitwell, who is a zombie. So he's back to life, but an actual just like brain-eating weird zombie.
Okay, so we have an ongoing thing about simian characters. Could you tell everybody who Hit-Monkey is?
Hit-Monkey is a monkey assassin. He's been in a Marvel Comics continuity for a while. I believe he was introduced by Dan Way a few years ago in his own series. He's been in Deadpool a few times, too, and he's a really fun, interesting, weird character, and it was really cool to put him in. We kept him paired up with Man-Thing a lot, and which is funny because they both can't talk. So a lot of times we had him on like Man-Thing's shoulder shooting his guns and working closely with him, which was fun.
Now, did you get to choose the characters for that, or did they come to you with the idea saying, hey, these are the characters we're interested in?
They gave me, like, a list, and these were the ones we kind of put together. I also created a character who ends up on the team whose name is Glyph, who, because there's no mummy, she was an Egyptian character who had kind of, like, was able to kind of summon spirits in the forms of Egyptian-looking ghosts, which was a lot of fun.
All right, and we also like to talk constantly about lame villains. Like, Stiltman is my favorite lame villain. Do you have a favorite lame villain out there who you'd like to write?
Who I'd like? Oh, what is the Turtle, the Flash villain? Is he called the Turtle? Yeah, who just, and I remember he, like, commits crimes so slowly the Flash can't catch him. That is so brilliant, and I would love to work on that.
I forgot all about the Turtle, yeah. Man, he's up there with Crazy Quilt, you're right.
No, he's a good one.
And we also had to do a panel at different Comic-Cons on horrible, horrible stereotypes in comics. Is there a favorite horrible stereotype, not necessarily that you like, but that just makes you cringe every when you read it?
I think it's not a stereotype necessarily, but I think a cliche is people saying this ends now. And I have written it myself. And like, thankfully one time an editor gave me a note and I just kind of watch out for it. And it's over and over. People are like, this ends now. It's like the thing to say, like towards the end of the fight. I think monologuing villains is pretty stereotypical. And again, I've done it myself and it's something that's always in there. That I try to think about now and subvert away from. I think it's become such a trope that a lot of people like make excuses, like the villains will be self-aware, like, well, not like I should tell you my plan and say it and things like that. And I am trying to think of anything else. That's all I got.
That's perfect. So are you on social media at all? Where could people follow you?
I am. I'm very active on Twitter. My username is Atlas Incognita, which is so hard for everyone to normally find, but it's Atlasincognita. And I'm really active about everything I'm working on, always posting stuff for my books. And my website is the same, www.atlasincognita.com. And typically, if you look up Frank Barbieri or Five Ghosts, you can find it. But that's how you will keep track of what I'm doing.
I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
This ends now.
I learned so much from that guy.
Wow, that was really insightful.
I'm going to have to listen to that again because so much information was coming at me too damn fast.
You should, Tom, you should probably check out the Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think you would really like it just because of all the monster villains that he has in it.
I love that. And, you know, Dum Dum Dugan, one of my all-time favorite characters. I was so happy to see Dum Dum Dugan in the Captain America movie. It really made my day. I liked the bowler. I liked the little thing. I loved everything about Dum Dum Dugan. Just saying. Well, that brings us over to our plugs. Who's got something great to plug?
I've got a trivia question.
I've got something.
Wait, a trivia question?
Yes. A trivia question? I'm a Twitter.
Can you guys tell me what a Kirby Crackle is?
It is a band that does geek rock.
I actually know the answer to this one.
Go for it, Tom.
A Kirby Crackle is when you see like a fist in a comic book, but there's like little dots and sparkles around it. And that's that Kirby Crackle to make it look like motion or make it look like it's just throbbing with power. That's the Kirby Crackle.
That is correct. It's when there's supposed to be some energy and they'll put a little black dots inside the color to give it a look like it's pulsating. That was
inside
created
the
by,
cloud and such.
Yeah, that was created by Jack Kirby. So, Tom, you get a cookie.
Isn't the Kirby Crackle also a rock band that does geeky rock?
It does, and if they are also our house band. So if you like Kirby Crackle and you like the music that you hear on here, you should go to kirbycracklemusic.com and check them out.
Well, that's a great plug and a great trivia question. Tommy, I know you got something to plug today.
I always have something to plug. Today I would like to plug Oh My Gods. It is a wonderful game put out by Gameworthy Labs. If you go to gameworthylabs.com, you can go and order it. It's a fantastic, quick little game. If you're getting together with your friends, it's a game of deduction based on Greek gods. It's fantastic. Also, I'd like to plug IanLino.com, IanLino.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things. And also, Victor Dandridge at Vantage In-House Productions. Can't say enough good things about him.
Well, I really can't. Victor is such a great guy, always so giving with his time and his energy with us. Josh, do you got anything you want to plug?
I'll plug Espionage Cosmetics, our friends from Philly Comic Con, and I will plug Duck Rabbit Brewery. I can't get in Massachusetts. So listeners, go to your local liquor store if you're down south and ship me some six packs, and I will forever love you.
And don't do that through the mail because I think that's illegal.
It's very illegal.
Possibly not, you know.
Look, I'm just going to get a tractor trailer truck. Somebody get a Trans Am, and I will drive this stuff.
Oh, I got
always wanted a Trans Am.
By the way, I'm going to do a shot-for-shot remake of the Cannonball Run called the Kessel Run, and everyone's got to be Star Wars reenactors. And as long as we're all good at doing this, man, I'm in. Jabba the Hutt as Buford. Smoky Jabba do Wakanda poopa.
All right, but I want me and another stormtrooper to be Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin. We'll just have the collars over our stormtrooper outfit.
That'll be awesome.
I'll be like, come on, man. Methodists, not Methodist, Catholics. Hey, wait a second.
Is it too high?
If God is our co-pilot, where is he going to sit?
Where's he going to sit? Where's he going to sit?
That is one of the greatest stupid movies of all time.
Love it.
And, of course, we got to have Jedi Knight doing the Jackie Chan character. This thing writes itself, guys. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it does.
And the two hot girls can be Princess Leia, slave girl, and Princess Leia, non-slave girl. Because God knows there weren't a lot of female characters in that movie.
Look, eventually Disney's going to make this film because, well, they own Star Wars, and they've got to get their billions back.
And for $25, you can own Burt Reynolds. So,
I got $25. for my quick plug, let me just say, please go to our Twitter page, which is outside the long box, at the long box, guys. We'd love to hear from you. We love chatting on it. We talk about comic books on there and just things that kind of get us going. So please go over there, subscribe to us, and we will chit and we will chat and we will have a great time.
And tell all your friends to listen to us.
Yeah, for God's sakes.
God's sakes.
Yeah, and also you should check out our website, outsidethelongbox.com, where we have links to all our friends, the bloggers that we like the NOLA Nerd Couple and the Comic Book Femme Fatale and J.B. Gardner. They're all over there. We'll put up all the links to that on our website, outsidethelongbox.com. And don't forget...
Red, black, and red all over.
Yeah, and don't forget to write to luckybastard at outsidethelongbox.com. So that way we can, every month when we draw a name for a winner of a comic book, you may win a comic book. What's the graphic novel we're giving away this month, LT?
We are giving away The Fantastic Foe. That's right. Matt Fraction wrote The Fantastic Foe, F-A-U-X. And we are going to be giving that away this month. So send your emails to The Lucky Bastard, and The Lucky Bastard will choose a winner.
I'm sorry, is it The Lucky Bastard or just Lucky Bastard?
Lucky Bastard at outsidethelongbox.com.
All right, let's keep that right. And remember what I say every single week, guys. Don't diss what you hate. Promote what you love. And Mike, what is this like to you?
It's hilarious for no apparent reason.
And it's Josh?
I got nothing.
Josh.
Drug history, but
what's
for
that?
Comics.
I just wanted to know if this was your sector.
Oh, no, this is not.
This is not my sector. All right, guys, have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
I pack my clothes and grab my single issues and wrap them up tight and make a list so my collection's complete.